Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here today. It is day one of the Masters, the first golf major of the season. And that means we got to talk to our guy, Brian Koziol. It's always a great time of year when we're talking golf and getting into the warmer weather, watching golf unfold on TV. So let's get to Brian right now here on the West Her Hotline. Okay, Brian, here we go. First major of the year. How jacked do you get for the first major every year?
It's the best week in golf. I love it. I can't wait. It usually coincides with golf season starting here in Western New York, although this year we haven't gotten much luck with weather, Sal. Normally by now, usually I've at least played a few times, or at least I think we've all tried to. This year's been really rough with the winter, and it feels relentless. Maybe the Masters here will give some good mojo to everybody here in Western New York, and we'll get good golf weather here soon to play. But yeah, this is the best. I mean, it's you start seeing the promos like literally during the NFL playoffs. Like if you're watching Bills playoff games on CBS, like they're playing Masters promos in January. So it's months and months of buildup, and yeah, I'm ready to go for sure.
Nance is still doing that, right? He's kind of tapered off on some other things.
Yeah, he cut back on the NCAA tournament, but still doing golf. He actually said this week, he was asked about it, his goal is to at least announce the Masters. He said it might be earlier for the NFL, but he said he's at least hoping to do the Masters till 2036.
Really?
That'll give him 51 years of being at the Masters, but it'll be the 100th Masters. So that's what he's hoping to get to 2036. That's, he said, his goal. Now, he said he might not stop there, but he said he wants to be there for the 100th Masters.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And they do it so right. You know, it's been on there for a long time, obviously, on CBS as well. Yeah, and our buddy Andrew Catalan is a big part of the broadcast now.
Yeah, and there are a couple of changes. Catalan has gotten a bigger role. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of does, I think, maybe like hole 14 now. They don't have as much on-course reporters and media at the Masters. If anybody's ever gone, it's like the cleanest-looking tournament out of the course. They don't have traveling media. If you went to Oak Hill, the big groups, you probably have 40 media members walking with the group all along the rope with their cameras and you know, all the international media. They don't have that at the Masters. Nobody's out on the course at all. They want it to just be the course, and that's it. They do have the tower where one of the CBS announcers would be for each hole. And, of course, also you mentioned Andrew Catalan going in, but I'm sorry, having a role. But Vern Lundquist, for the first time in forever, I mean, I don't know exactly how many years, he won't be on the famous 16th on the par three, where he's been for a long, long time. And, you know, Lundquist has one of the most memorable broadcasting calls ever in Masters history with Jack Nicklaus in 86, where he's got that putt on 17. He's like, maybe, yes, sir. And it goes in and, you know, everybody goes bonkers. And that was kind of the clincher there for Nicklaus. But, yeah, no Vern Lundquist this year. Frank Nobolo, who's got the nice British accent going, is going to be is taking Lundquist's spot on the third on 16 on that famous par three.
And I say our buddy Andrew Catalan, because in case people don't realize, he is the play-by-play man for Bill's preseason games.
That's right.
Works with Steve Tasker. So he'll be on the call on the Masters. All right. So Scottie Scheffler, chances of him repeating and winning his third in 4 years.
I mean, you still would have to say very good. I mean, he's still world number one. He's still dominating every time he goes out there. But not coming in as good to the Masters as he did last year. Last year at this point, he had come off of winning two of his last three events, including the Players Championship. This year, he still doesn't have a win in 2025. He's been playing well. He finished fifth at Pebble Beach. He finished sixth at Phoenix, seventh at the Genesis, and 10th at the Arnold Palmer. So, I mean, four top tens in the legit events, and then he finished 11th at the Players Championship. So, I mean, there's five top tens right there, all at big events with elevated fields, but he doesn't have the wins that he does coming into last year. And he's just been a little, sloppier, you know, definition for him being sloppy with his game compared to ours is not even close, but he's just been a little off here and there. And his putting definitely isn't as good as it needs to be. I loved, there's a stat that I saw this week on Golf Channel as they were previewing the event sale. It's called bounce back ranking. Essentially, it's what they deem to be a shot that is not essentially hitting a fairway or hitting a green. Like, what's your next shot? Do you get it back? If you miss the fairway, do you then get back on the green, like back in regulation? Or, you know, if you miss the green, are you able to get up and down? So it's like this, they call it a bounce back ranking, which I think is kind of cool. Like, are you able to overcome the adversity, or are you able to recover after a bad shot? The last two seasons going into the Masters, Scheffler was second and second in the world. This year he's 84th. So he's not recovering as well from when he gets into trouble as maybe he has been in years past. So he's not in his best form, but for sure it's very easy to argue that he could win his third Masters in four tries here, because he's so good. And if he just putts even average, the rest of his stats tee to green are always right at the top. So if he putts well, there's no reason why he can't win again.
Would you argue the opposite for Rory McIlroy? A fifth place finish at the Houston Open. And of course he wins the Players Championship. He also has a win earlier at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am as well. Just this whole season seems like a couple of, you know, not top 10 finishes, but is he playing some really good golf right now? Is that indication of that?
I think he's playing the best of any player on tour for sure. Yeah. I mean, the two wins that you mentioned, that's an elevated event this year at Pebble Beach, a very strong field. The Players Championship's the biggest event of the season up until this week. And he was able to win that in a playoff on a Monday, if you remember, over J.J. Spahn. Mm-hmm. So, I think he's playing as good as anybody. We know that the Masters week for him can be a stressful one, because every year he comes in, he's reminded this is the last major that you need to complete the career Grand Slam. And if you win the career Grand Slam, like, you elevate yourself into an elite category of golfers that are, you know, you can count on one hand of how good you are to be in that group. And he also hasn't won a major in a long time. I mean, last year he was tremendous in majors, but if you remember, maybe the most painful one of all was at the U.S. Open. He's battling at Pinehurst with Bryson DeChambeau, and he misses those two short putts, one on 16, one 18s, you know, ones that us amateurs would say, how does he miss that? You know, it's so close. Yeah. And then DeChambeau, that incredible up and down from like 50 yards out on the last hole from the bunker, do end up winning it by one over McIlroy. And remember, Rory kind of stormed off, didn't talk to the media, got in the car, left right away. Really, really discouraged about that. I mean, that was maybe his tournament to be taken there too, to kind of snap this major skid. So yes, it's been a long time, over a decade since Rory has won, 2014, last major. So it's been a while for him. The one thing about others that have had majors droughts is like they've gone away. Like Spieth has had droughts. He's gone away. Justin Thomas has had some droughts here and there. Gone. McIlroy, at least through this decade of him not winning a major, he's still relevant every year. He still wins. He still wins a lot. He hasn't really dropped even out of the top three in the world. So he's still playing outstanding golf. But this is the one that, of course, he wants to win more than any, not only to snap the major's skid, but to get his career grand slam. And, when he drives the ball, he's the best driver of the golf ball in the world. There isn't the penalizing rough that there is at the other majors. So this is even a spot where he can crank it up. And even if he misses it a little, there's opportunity to kind of get around. So I'm curious to see what he does. He's made a little change this year, which I think's really helped Sal. They said he's hitting, I guess to make it as easy as possible for listeners here, less shots at 100%. He's trying to hit more controlled shots, maybe more three-quarter shots, flight the ball in lower. And that's really a key to playing well at Augusta National. You have to know where to hit it on the green and where not to hit it on the green, or where you cannot miss and where you can miss when you're hitting approach shots. It's a second shot course quite a bit, people like to say. Like, who's the best from after the drive into the green? Like, that's usually the guy that ends up doing well. So I think McIlroy's feeling about as good as he has coming in to this event with that kind of style and approach.
Brian Koziel joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Seems like it was forever ago that we were embroiled in this Bryson DeChambeau, stuff that was going on and following him around every tournament. That's kind of calmed down, and kind of so has his game a little bit. He actually, and I think personality wise, he's kind of grown on a lot of people, right? I mean, he's doing a lot of the YouTube stuff, and it seems like he's just now being respected as a golfer. Now, he has a few top 10 finishes on the LIV Tour this year, but how about Bryson DeChambeau's game and where that is right now?
Yeah, he was asked about that this week, about just his like public persona, yeah, and like how it's changed and like what happened. And he said, admittedly this week, just 2 days ago in his press conference, he said, look, I was all thinking I had to do things a certain way, and I realized it rubbed people the wrong way. And he goes, I look back at it and wish I would have handled things differently, whether it was interacting with fans, interacting with media, or even interacting with other players. I mean, remember he had that feud with Brooks Koepka, yes, there for a little while too. That was,
yes,
both of them were ridiculous with it. Some drama that he didn't need. He says a big part now of him doing all that content creating that he's doing on his YouTube page that has been very, very popular is that he realizes now, he's like, it took me a few years to figure it out, but he goes, the outreach that I have and the ability for me to grow the game and the influence that I can have on young kids to watch and be excited about golf. And he says, of course, every tournament I'm in, I'm going to do everything I can to win. I still want to win just as much as I ever have. But he said, now I want to be more appreciative of the moments that I'm in, and I'm still going to do everything I have to try to win and study and practice and do all the crazy scientific stuff that he does. But he said, it's made me more content to be out on the golf course in these tournaments in terms of realizing like, hey, this is the spot I've worked all my life for here. I'm really happy to be here. And he definitely, as much as any golfer that I've seen, has gone from a villain to, it was like the mad scientist to the villain to now is almost kind of like a lovable Bryson, to the point that people might not like him because he's on LIV, but in terms of just how he's carried himself and what he's doing to the general public to try to grow the game of golf, I commend him for turning things around.
Yeah, that's really great to hear, by the way. And it does, it kind of speaks to, I think, you and I, who are both have been educators, and you are now, you're an educator, you're a teacher, that I think at some point you grow up and you realize, now when I say grow up, I don't mean from immaturity necessarily, but I think you realize that you have a bigger impact and bigger purpose, right? And it feels like that's what he's saying through golf. He has a bigger purpose to hand it down the right way and to have this influence. And I love that. I love when, I think all of us, maybe you could speak, I know I went through that in my life and say, you have this platform, and I know you give a lot back of your personal time and your resources to do things for, for kids as a coach, but even through charitable organizations, little things like that, when you realize the impact you can have because of the platform you have.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, Sal. And I think, you and I are in our jobs in our different ways, whether it's when we work with high school students or when you've coached before, you know how meaningful it is to coach a high school student and they reach a certain goal or they learn something that maybe you've been working on, they've been struggling with, like how good it makes you feel as a coach or their teacher or their supporter to do that. So I get it. And then, even now you know, in your media role, Sal, I know it's the same thing. Like if there's something that you can do for somebody to like enhance the experience or to make it a memorable day for them, I know you're very good at that. It's something that I always say when people say, hey, you know, do you know Sal Capaccio? And I always speak very highly of you, Sal, that you always try to make experiences for everybody when they interact with you in the setting of sports and media, like that you make it great for them. And that's something that I always try to do as well, is that realizing that, hey, for some people, you know, going on the radio for 30 seconds for them, like that could be the highlight of their week, or getting a chance to meet somebody on the Bills or on the Sabres, or have a selfie with somebody, or get a chance to interact with a fellow media member or a broadcaster, or get an art. Like if I could help make that happen anyway, it is super meaningful. And DeChambeau has that platform times a billion than what I have with his opportunity to grow golf around the world. So it is cool that he's doing that. And it makes him a person that I want to root for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Brian, over the last, since 2001, I was looking at the stats, dominated mostly by American winners from the United States, 15 of them since 2001. But there have been others from other countries, Trevor Immelman from South Africa, Angel Cabrera from Argentina, Schwartzel from South Africa. Remember that one? Adam Scott from Australia. That was a big one. Remember from 2013, I believe it was. Here it says Sergio and John Rahm, both from Spain. Anyway, it's a long-winded way of me asking, you know, what the challenge is of non-Americans to win at Augusta.
Good question. Yeah, I mean, this isn't a course that maybe is similar to what you might see elsewhere around the world. So in that sense, it's not like players are used to saying, well, this style of course preps me well for Augusta National across the globe. Yeah, you know, internationally here, you know, again, I think we go back to McIlroy. He clearly has the best chance. If there's going to be an international winner, it's going to be for him. John Rahm, talent-wise, is capable of it. I'm not quite sure where John's Rahm head is at with his golf game. I think he has regrets of joining LIV. I don't know if he'll ever openly, publicly admit that. I just think some of the things he said about what he has missed about being on the PGA Tour and playing the best players in the world. Like, Rahm is such a fiery competitor. I was really stunned by him. I got Dustin Johnson. I got good Brooks Koepka. I even got DeChambeau at the time. I didn't quite get John Rahm moving. Even all the older players, the Mickelsons and the Poulters and the Westwoods of the world, because their career was ending. But John Rahm was literally the guy. I mean, number one, him and Scheffler and McIlroy, they're battling each week. He's at the peak of his career. And to jump just to get the bigger check when, to me, he could have been, you know, like right in the mix of how we're talking about Scheffler and McIlroy right now. Like that part I was a little surprised with. And he, again, I mean, think about it. Like we talk about John Rahm maybe a couple times a year. That's it right now, where he is such a historian of the game. He has said so much how he values playing in these tournaments that have meaning. I'm not quite sure if he's ready to just all of a sudden jump in and turn it on when he's playing these events that he says, you know, are tough to feel, kind of like what they're all about, because there is no tradition. We don't know what these live events are. If somebody wins a live event in a certain country, like, okay, like what does that do? Like, I don't know. Is that viewed to be a great accomplishment? I don't know. We haven't quite figured that out yet. So for Rahm, I think, you know, him being in the mix in a tournament like this, he's got to feel like, hey, these are his only chances to do so. And he's super talented. So, I mean, you know, internationally wise, you got to figure he's a factor. Matsuyama always plays well at the Masters. That would be another name that I would throw out.
He did win in 2021.
And, that's, you know, right.
Matsuyama and Rahm are the only non-Americans to win since 2018. It's been pretty much dominated. But two out of the last 4 years, right? You got Rahm, you got Matsuyama. In between that, Scottie Scheffler both times.
Yeah. So, and probably, you know, who else could you throw in that mix? I mean, Ludvig Åberg is a young player last year that we saw finish second in his Masters debut. Super impressive. He's been a little hot and cold this year on the PGA Tour, but there's another European name that that could pop up here as we go into this tournament.
Any changes to the course this year that we should know about in any regard?
The only thing I would say that people might notice is visually there are less trees in between holes, and a lot of that was due to the hurricane that came through. And I know there were kind of two of them within a 2 week span in September that came through, and it wrecked some havoc. Obviously Augusta National's got the most, you know, biggest golf budget in the world. So they clean up quick and they fix everything up quick, but there are, less trees out there in between holes. So I don't know on TV if it'll be noticeable enough, but I know I've heard players say that they're noticing it as they're walking down fairways. In terms of the length of holes, there was one or two holes that maybe have added just a little to the tee box, but nothing significant like there has been in previous years. Like on 13, the famous par 5 of Amen Corner, they added a new tee box there last year. That was brand new, but nothing major in terms of like the yardage or overall look.
One other specific guy I want to ask you about, what has happened to Jordan Spieth? I'm looking at his odds right now. He's down, he's at 50-1. He's pretty far down there, actually 40-1. I'm sorry, 40-1, but there's a lot of people ahead of him. Now, granted, he's still probably 25th, maybe on the list, let's say, but what's happened to Jordan Spieth?
Super, super inconsistent player. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you know, as the best short game still, maybe on the PGA Tour. He's been in contention to win this year. He's got four top tens. And he was fifth at Pebble Beach, sixth at Phoenix, seventh at the Genesis, nine in West Palm. So he's had opportunities to win. He's played pretty well. But he's a guy, when you think about the Masters, that the course fits up really well. You have to have an incredible short game. You have to be able to get up and down and have imagination around the greens. And he's as good as anybody at doing it. This tournament he has played better in than maybe some of his others over his recent years here when he's still been struggling. Because, again, he is definitely inconsistent off the tee. But you can get away with it a little bit more at the Masters if you're spraying off the tee than you can at the other majors. I mean, I'll be honest, I was probably on the radio a decade ago after Spieth won in 2015 saying, hey, this is the guy that can push to be the next Tiger because his short game was so good. I thought his mental game was so strong. And then he came back the next year and was dominating and was on his way to winning a second one. And I thought maybe here comes the next great one. And if he had that collapse on the back nine on the 12th hole, and that's when Danny Willett snuck in and ended up winning his Masters that year. And, yeah, I mean, Spieth's been obviously good here and there throughout, but very inconsistent over the last couple of years, even to the point, you know, last year where he had trouble even getting himself into the playoffs. And, you know, he's not even a regular now for thinking about Ryder Cup and stuff like that. He's got a lot of work to do if he wants to get himself in that back in that top 10, top 12 range to be an automatic for a Ryder Cup or be an automatic for even our discussion here about thinking about who could win. If there is a major that you said I have to pick Spieth for, this would be the one, though, because he is very good at this tournament and his short game is suitable to get himself in contention here.
Anybody that you like, maybe from, you know, the back of the field, let's say, I'm not saying like way in the back of the field, but somebody who's not getting all the love necessarily, who say, you know what, don't be surprised if this guy kind of has a good showing over the week.
Yeah, I'll throw the name Corey Connors out, which our Canadian listeners, I think, would
there he is,
know
an international
his name
guy.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, he has had a really, really good season this year. He's been in contention in majors the last couple of seasons to maybe break through and get his. His one failure at times can be his putting, but he's been really, really good accuracy-wise. So I think if this week he can stay and have that accuracy, maybe he won't have to rely as much on being outstanding putting-wise at this tournament. But I've liked Connors a little bit this year. I'm really intrigued about what Will Zalatoris can do. This is a guy with a ton of talent. I feel like can win in any week, but he's had to overcome injuries these last few years. He says now he's finally healthy. This is kind of his biggest stage since. So that's another player. And a name that obviously maybe people would recognize because he's going to be the Ryder Cup captain this year. But Keegan Bradley's had a good year playing. He said he's not going to pick himself as a captain pick, even if he's been playing great. But he might get if he gets a win in a major at some point here, too, he could put himself into the top six where he would automatically make it. And he could be a captain and a player at the same time, which would be pretty wild. That hasn't happened since essentially back in the 60s and the 70s when they had player captains for the Ryder Cup. So there are some names there. You know, I guess if you really, really want to go far down here, Denny McCarthy, a Porter Cup champion from Niagara Falls Country Club, known to be the best putter on tour. So maybe if the greens get really, really crusty and fast and it comes down to a putting contest, maybe McCarthy gives himself an opportunity to get in the mix this week.
And then it's going to be another month. Quail Hollow, I'm looking at. Is that where the PGA Championship is this year?
Yep. All right. So that'll be a month away. You know, the PGA of America has been really happy with their move to May.
Yeah.
One thing negative from that is that because of the fact that the PGA is in May, they may be trending towards avoiding the Northeast courses.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know for everybody that enjoyed Oak Hill 2 years ago, Oak Hill had it in 03 and in 13 and in 23. And, you know, the announcements of what's to happen with 2033, they're still waiting. There's still a few open PGA Championship slots kind of in the mid-2030s area there. I think Oak Hill supports the event and Western New York supports the event as good as any, just from all the other majors that I've been at across the country. I think that, you know, Rochester itself, if you just look corporate-wise, sponsor-wise, they do as good as they possibly can. But a lot of these times it's about making these events bigger with VIP and corporate and all these sort of things that, you know, let's face it, there are other cities, there's maybe untapped resources in that area that they can make it bigger and better, because ultimately, as we all know, unfortunately, there's a huge piece of sports that is the bottom line. And if they can maybe get themselves in a course that where they've got a whole bunch of areas where they can build things out and create a better fan experience for corporate sponsors and things like that, I can't think that it's solely the weather that's holding the PGA of America back for maybe announcing the return to Oak Hill. Usually, right before the week of the PGA Championship, they usually announce one or two future sites. So maybe in mid-May we'll find out, but cross your fingers. I think Oak Hill deserves it. The course itself, clearly with the history that it has, deserved to have another major championship coming soon.
Real quick before I let you go, Brian Koziel here on the Wester Hotline. What year was the first year you did Sabres pre- and post-game on WGR? Do you remember?
Yes.
As the main person?
It was 2007-08 season. It was yes. So they out of the lockout was the 04-05. And then 05-06, they went to was the Carolina series. And then 06-07, that was the Ottawa one. Yeah. And then I took over the year after that. So you can blame me maybe for what.
No, but you've been there for playoffs. You've been there for playoffs. But I'm asking you because they are eliminated again.
Yep.
But they have won 8 of 9. Does it feel any different than years past when they've been in this position to you at all?
A little, because it feels like something that has always been a trouble for this team, which is personable accountability and the understanding to play discipline. They seemingly have figured it out. I think that while 2 years ago when they were a point away, they played that fun brand of hockey, there was still a lot of questions of like, hey, could this actually, if they made the playoffs, could they actually play in this style? And people always say no, because of course it tightens up, it toughens up. I think that the Sabres have shown that they can play that brand and they could play a little bit more disciplined. And I think they also have shown that they can beat the best team. So it's working against the best teams. They beat, you know, over this last month of good play, they've beaten Washington, they've beaten Winnipeg, they've beaten Dallas, they've beaten Vegas, they've beaten Edmonton. They've beaten Florida. They've beaten the best teams overall in the entire NHL. So it shows that it's not just a fluke necessarily against the bad teams. They've been doing against the good teams. But Kyle Oposo was asked about this 2 years ago when they were playing well, about carrying momentum over to next season. And he said, that's nothing. He goes, look, there's new coaches, there's new players. He said, it's all brand new. Everybody has the fresh start. He said, almost never are you sitting there during preseason and getting ready for opening night. Are you ever thinking about what you did the previous March and April? So what can be useful maybe is that they are learning at least what it takes to win, and they're seeing results. So now they just have to remind themselves come next September and October, like, hey, this is what we have to do if we're going to win. The negative for the Sabres, to me, going into this offseason, is that I think they went backwards with goaltender.
Yeah.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, we thought maybe was the guy. And the Sabres still, since Ryan Miller, are still really searching for the guy. It shows if they get quality goaltending that also can be a recipe for them winning. James Reimer has played outstanding here. I'm not making a case for James Reimer for next year, but I'm making a case that goaltending matters in the league. And maybe it's time that Devon Levi, you know, makes that next splash. A couple of times early in his tenure with this organization, he's had a chance to take the job, and it hasn't really gone his way. And then ultimately back to Rochester, which is probably the best spot for him. Him getting a long run in the playoffs this year would be great for him and his development to go out and try to go win a Calder Cup and see if they can take Rochester really far in the playoffs. But I got to believe if Kevin Adams is back and Lindy Ruff is back, which I believe they will be, they're going to give Devon Levi the shot to be the number one. Where James Reimer fits into the mix, if he wants to come back, that'll be interesting. Is Luukkonen tradable? I don't know. Would you want to even give up on Luukkonen? He had one really good year and one really year. So, like, that to me is the part that's tough is that that's a key spot that I feel like is valuable, that they don't really have a firm answer on going into next year.
Brian, thanks as always, buddy. Enjoy Masters weekend and the 2025 golf season basically starting this weekend, buddy.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And if I get 2 cents here, we got 2 hour tee to green Saturday.
Yes.
So double the time. Looking forward to it. 7 to 9 Saturday morning. Kevin Sylvester, Jeff Mitas, myself will be at Pendleton Creek Golf Club for 2 hours. So almost all on the Masters. So hope everybody can tune in on WGR.
Great stuff right there from Ryan Koziel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Update you on the Masters leaderboard, but when we come back from this timeout, it's our guy, Patrick Hammer. He comes back on radio to tell us about, not, of course, Bill's weather. We're getting into the schedule when that happens. How about next week? We got Easter break coming up for a lot of the kids. Vacation time for people. Maybe you're hanging out here in Buffalo. What's it going to be like? We'll talk with Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist, after this timeout on WGR.
Time.
I mean, you wouldn't know it by looking outside that it's April 10th and Easter's rolling around the corner here, but it is Buffalo. That's what happens here. Easter break next week for a lot of kids out there, teachers, parents staying home with the kids, whatever you got going on. I mean, I'm headed out of town tonight. We're going to be gone for a week down in sunny Florida, but I know a lot of you sticking around here wondering what it's going to be like while the kids may be off. So, I reached out to our guy, Patrick Hammer. It's been a while since we talked to Pat. we missed him on TV for a little while, too, but he made his triumphant return a couple of weeks ago, and now he's back on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We go to the Western Hotline and bring in Patrick Hammer. Good to talk to you. Good to see you again, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. So good to talk to you, too. Yeah, I was off for a couple weeks in March. Had a little health-related issue I had to take care of. I'm glad I took the time, by the way. Didn't want to, but I had to. It was just doctor's orders.
Okay.
All is good. Good to be back. Kind of matters of the heart, something you know a little bit about, Sal. Oh,
yeah.
So, and I don't mean like emotionally, I mean like physically. So,
yeah, okay.
So that was kind of the main issue, but we're healthy as a healthy and back at work, back. I'm back. I'm just glad to be talking to you. That is for sure.
I'm glad to hear that. And I will say, just from both of us here, you know, men with children and families as we get older. And I've been an open book about, you know, my pacemaker, and I got that a little over a year ago. And, you know, being someone who wants to tell people, you know, make sure you're always staying on top of your physical and mental health and all that stuff, because, you know, it's important to people. And sometimes we can have a little too much pride, right? And we can have a little too much ego. We know that. And especially, I think, men our age who say, no, I'm indestructible, and we're not. And it's really important to do things like that, Pat, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And when I got the similar experience to you. And then when, I had the talk with the big doctor, and you know, you think you are, you know, unflappable, you know, even in your fifties, only to learn how delicate the internals of your body and the plumbing, if you will, are, and you got to keep them healthy. And it's not, especially at our age, you know, things can happen. And when you've got kids and you want to be around for a long time, you know, you got to keep an eye on stuff. Even when you think everything's fine, everything may not be fine. So glad we had it checked out.
Yeah. Well, glad that you're okay. Glad to hear you. Glad to see you. Great message right there. Physical, mental well-being, all of that is very important. Yeah. And we want to make sure everybody, you know, understands that as well. All right. So while you were gone, we had a few 70 degree days, and then suddenly you come back and it's freaking snowing outside in April.
Okay. So here's the deal. I went and looked back. April snow is not unheard of. In fact, we've never had an April in Buffalo without measurable snow. Kind of a hard thing to fathom, but it is true. And as recently as I was just talking to Josh off the air, 5 years ago during COVID, we had this like freak mid-April snow brought a couple of inches. This is when we were all broadcasting from home. And here's the thing. We've got the light snow occurring now that's about to change over to rain. But we may be doing this all over again next week. The anniversary of, because that snow happened to fall on Josh's birthday, he tells me, next Wednesday, which is the 16th of April, is exactly 5 years to the date of that snow, and it may occur again next April 16th, which is Tuesday night into Wednesday. So that's a long way out.
That is my flight back. Wait, I am flying back that morning from Florida.
You okay? Well, I'm chasing you. I'm going to be behind you, not making it all the way to Florida, but two states north of you for a couple of days for spring break. And I will say that we'll both be returning around the same time, and it may be a very different feel compared to where we're coming from. So it's like
when the Bills play a road game in Miami or West Coast, and we fly, and I fly in the team charter, and we get on the plane, and it's like 75 degrees. Then we land in Buffalo, and it's like, oh my God, why did I not bring my coat? Because it's snowing and it's 20 degrees. Is it that kind of thing? Is that what we're looking at?
So here's the thing. I mean, it is a week away, but it's just this overall weather pattern that really set up when we flipped from March to April. It's just been a cool April so far, and the weather patterns, sometimes they can tend to repeat themselves, which is the case here, where we're getting this cool snow that is now changing to rain. By the way, don't worry about the rest of the day. It's just going to be a light drizzle or rain, kind of a nuisance, but no more snow. But it's going to stay chilly, and it's going to stay cool tomorrow with more showers. The weekend is looking better. Mainly dry, but still some lingering clouds. But then next week we head into spring break, and it looks like the best day of spring break may very well be Monday, when we flirt with 60. I mean, that seems like, okay. I mean, we did that like all of March. We'll finally break 60 on Monday, and then that's followed by some showers Tuesday and a push of cool air that could bring some rain and snow showers later Tuesday into Wednesday. We hope that backs off. But right now, spring break will not be remembered as a warm one. That's for sure.
I was looking, doing my own research. It looks like 56 is about the average for late April. Is that right? Or this time of year, maybe, yeah. Next couple of weeks?
Yep. 54 to 56 is kind of the average for next week. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be getting to that point and feeling like it's back to average and normal anytime soon after this snow shot hits next week?
I got to believe the trend is for maybe the back half of April being warmer. I mean, it's kind of gotta be, you know, but I will say that the cooler than average stuff that we've been dealing with will be here again next week, despite a nice little, a modest warm up Monday. It looks like it's going to come back next week. So, you know, you got to think about the, you know, Bison's games that have been struggling. Yeah. You know, we've got one tonight, maybe that, or is it today? Tonight?
Well, listen, I don't know if you saw, I'm a big Yankees fan, obviously, and were in Detroit the last three games. Well, they were in Detroit the last 3 days, and they were all afternoon games, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. What I found out, I didn't realize this, they were originally scheduled to be night games, but because of the cold air that was happening around the Midwest and Detroit and the Great Lakes, they rescheduled all of those games for the afternoon. That's why.
I never knew of, I know of games being postponed. But not, you know, postponed for a, you know, for a day, but not like within the day. That's crazy.
Yeah, they moved the entire series from like 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the afternoon for all three games. And then I looked and said, all right, it was 38 degrees at first pitch the other day in Detroit for the Yankees. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the coldest ever Yankees game? So I went online, I looked it up, and it happened to be, I'm not kidding, literally 9 years to the day. In Detroit, 31 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, it seems like the baseball season tends to start earlier and earlier every year. And
that's right.
Okay, that makes more opportunities for these weather-related issues for baseball in terms of cold, snow, and whatnot. You know, if that trend continues, there's going to be more of this because April can be volatile in terms of cold. March was such a warm one and such a dry one and a snowless one. Heck, we may end up with more snow in April than we got in March. That would be crazy.
I told Max the dad joke the other day, and I was surprised that he had already heard this. And I said, Max, obviously April showers brings May flowers. What do May flowers bring? Mm-hmm. You know the answer, right?
I'm good with dad jokes, but I don't know. Okay.
April showers bring May flowers. What do May flowers bring? And the answer is pilgrims. They come on the Mayflower.
Got it. Okay.
That's the dad joke right there, right?
That's
come on.
Dad joke. What did I hear? Wait. There was a dad. I guess apparently there's a history of dad jokes in the Bills training room on Fridays.
Oh, yeah.
And yes. Coach McDermott told the scarecrow joke. He told it during our sports segment, and it was so terrible. It was so funny at the same time.
Listen. I mean, of course. Well, that's the whole point about dad jokes, no doubt. Hey, do you have any info on what, like, the summer might look like? What trending as far as, you know, weather patterns or anything?
Well, that's a good question, because oftentimes when we talk about summer and winter weather patterns especially, you look for certain signals that over the last couple of years have been there leading up to that season. And this year there really isn't that signal, meaning you hear the term El Nino La Nina, and that can have an impact on all seasons and can kind of give you a heads up. Right now we're trending into, facetiously we call La Nada, meaning it's neither warm or cold in places that we look for. So, in the Pacific Ocean, that tends to suggest what the following season could be like. That signal isn't there. So the summer right now, you know, I think if you just, you got to kind of look at trends, warmer is probably a good way to go. But there's no screaming message right now on the direction. I do know, though, that when this weather pattern you know, lets up. And I did mention that it does look like it's going to warm up a little bit towards the end of April. It also looks like it's going to really dry out, too. So we've actually needed some of this rain. Western New York's been getting a closer to a little bit of a droughty situation. So, and if we go back to a really dry pattern, that's an issue. So in some ways, a little bit of this rain isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the timing, you know, is not good.
All right, so we might talk before this happens, but I can guarantee you coming up soon, one of the next times we'll talk will be after the NFL schedule is released, all right? That's going to be the second week in May, we think, after our after my podcast I did with Matt Bovain, I did with Mike North, the schedule maker. I don't know if you listened to it. It's great. We love doing it. And he said they're targeting like May 13th through 15th, somewhere in there. So once that schedule comes out, we know where the Bills are playing when. I'll definitely have you back on, and we'll talk about it to have people start planning for things.
And one thing I did catch you say on WGR yesterday, that considering the Josh Allen factor and everything that surrounds him now in terms of his future wife and his amazing
MVP.
You know, that MVP, of course, does that affect the schedule making? And you said Mike North said absolutely.
He used the word undoubtedly. How about that? He said undoubtedly. And look, I went back and looked, Pat. Last year, this is a good thing for you to know in your position too. Last year, the Bills had 7 1 p.m. games. That's it out of 17. I think they'll have less this year.
That's crazy.
Right. I mean, that's amazing, right?
Well, and if you remember, we had so many of those night games early in the season. Yep. We were beginning to covet the 1 p.m. game. Just give me an afternoon, please, you know?
I know, and I think you're in line for quite a few 4:25 p.m. games this year, especially at home, given the schedule. But we'll talk about that when the schedule comes out in about a month or so. Hey, listen, glad you're healthy. Glad you're doing great. You sound great. You look great on TV. Always great to connect with you, of course, and we'll do it again sometime soon. So thanks a lot for doing this today.
All right, have a good spring break.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Wrap up your Thursday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for more details. Also, how about this? We have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the VIP WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds are going to benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. I'll be back 1 week from today. Enjoy your break if you're on it. Enjoy the rest of today. Sabres Live up next on WGR.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.